Well, good evening, everyone. Judy, this has stopped flashing. Are we good?
Yes.
Excellent. So lovely to be together, and good morning to the morning group. So we're continuing our series on discipleship, and this is number 6. So I hope we're all enjoying it, and I hope we're being challenged as well by some of the things we're reading about and sharing and discussing together. So tonight and in a fortnight's time, so we've no discipleship group next week as it's half term, but tonight and in a fortnight's time, we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And today, I'm going to look at who the Holy Spirit is, and Terry is going to share about what the Holy Spirit does. So we've got a double act tonight. And then the last session on the Holy Spirit will be about how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll have a time of praying together as well. So Steve, when he covered the Trinity some weeks back, he said the Holy Spirit is a person and one part of the Trinity. And he explained that God exists eternally, and he's also three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each one is fully God, and together they are one. So the Holy Spirit is given to empower us and to live the lives that God calls us to live. And I believe the lives that God calls us to live, he wants us to live extraordinary lives in this world. And he wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised that he would ask the Father who would send the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that without the Holy Spirit's fullness in our lives, we cannot live the lives that God wants us to live. So we need his Holy Spirit in our lives every day to be the people that he wants us to be. And I remember around the time I became a Christian many, many years ago, some people prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for me, it was a significant moment, and it was as if something was suddenly switched on. And the Holy Spirit, whom God sends to each one of us, he comes to empower us, he comes to transform our lives, so that we're more like Jesus. He comes to reveal truth. He comes to equip us for spiritual battles. And he guides us and much more. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's here to be alongside us. And he's here to make a great difference in our lives. He's like our personal heavenly counselor, comforter, and encourager. And I love that because we should, as we get to know and love the Holy Spirit, we need to ask for him to be alongside each day. So he counsels, he comforts us, he encourages us. And he's the one who enables us to live lives as Christians the way God calls us to be. So I'm starting by looking at who is the Holy Spirit. And in the handouts you have, just want to go through there's five main parts and then an ending piece. So starting with who is the Holy Spirit, well, firstly, he was involved with God at the creation of the world. So we see him right from the beginning of the Bible, where it says the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And that's in Genesis 1 and verses 1 and 2. So the Holy Spirit causes new things to come into being, and he brings order out of chaos. And also in Genesis, in chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that the breath of God brought life to man. So the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, brought life to man. So the Holy Spirit was operating from the beginning of creation. And in the same way that the Holy Spirit brought life to man, then he wants to bring life to each one of us. And we were down at the church in Bath on Friday evening, and one of the people there was saying that he was talking about people being drawn into church, being drawn to Jesus. And he said, look, it's not about persuading people they need to come to church. It's not about even having good theological arguments why Christianity is right. But he said the thing that makes the biggest difference is people are attracted by seeing God's love and the Holy Spirit at work in people's lives. And I think that's so true. Because as Christians, we want to be those people who are different. So it's not about arguing with people why they should become a Christian, but actually it's about sharing God's love And as we share God's love and as we're filled with his Holy Spirit, he makes a difference in other people's lives. So the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of creation. Secondly, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon particular people at particular times for particular purposes. So the Holy Spirit, he often acts for a purpose. And there's an amazing guy called Bezalel in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit anointed him for artistic works in gold, silver, and bronze. And he built significant parts of the amazing tabernacle that God instructed to be made. And so it was the Lord who'd spoken to Moses and said, look, I'm going to fill this man with the Spirit of God. I'm going to give him wisdom. I'm going to give him understanding. I'm going to give him knowledge in all kinds of craftsmanship. That's in Exodus 31 and verses 1 to 5. That's wonderful, to be filled with wisdom, with understanding and knowledge. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills people's lives, it makes an amazing difference. And I know for me, in life, in work, in relationships, as I look back over the years, I can see that the Holy Spirit has made an enormous difference, and he adds a new dimension to our lives. So the Holy Spirit, he anointed for a particular purpose, and this man, he gave him wonderful giftings far beyond his abilities. The Holy Spirit also filled Gideon with an anointing for leadership. So Gideon was someone, he was, by his own description, he was weak, he was inadequate, and he was the least member of his family. But with the Holy Spirit's anointing, he became one of the most remarkable leaders in the whole Bible. And that's in Judges 6 and 14 to 16. So when we confess we're weak, we're inadequate, we feel hopeless, and we ask God to come and fill us, it's then that he can fill us and really use us. The Holy Spirit also came upon Samson in the Old Testament, and he gave Samson power and strength. And it says the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon Samson mightily in Judges 15 and verses 14 and 15. And he enabled Samson to break the ropes as if they were threads. So the Holy Spirit is sent to set captives free, to break the things that bind us. And also the Holy Spirit anointed Isaiah to prophesy. And there's the most wonderful chapter in Isaiah, chapter 61, where it talks about that he anointed Isaiah and he brought him to preach the good news and talking about Jesus, to bind up broken hearts and to set captives free. And in a world with so much pain and bad things happening, God wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit so that as he fills us up, we can actually release the blessing he puts into our lives to be a blessing to others. And that's what he wants. So the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of creation. In the Old Testament, he anointed people for particular times and particular reasons. And then in the Old Testament, there was a promise of more. So it was one thing that it was for particular times, particular purposes, and particular people. But God promised more. And he said, one day, I'm going to do something new. And in Jeremiah 31 and 33, God promised, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. So he was talking about moving away from the written law, which no man could fully adhere to having a law written on people's hearts. And in Ezekiel, God promised that I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's Ezekiel 36 and verses 26 to 27. And also in the Old Testament, foretelling something new and something different coming, Joel prophesied. And in the book of Joel and chapter 2 and verses 28 to 29, God said, I will pour my spirit out on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on your male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So God is promising the Holy Spirit for everyone. So it was no longer to be for particular times, for particular people, for particular purposes, But God was saying, look, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on everyone, irrespective of their sex, their age, their race, or their rank. And this Holy Spirit promise in various ways in the Old Testament of something more, well, it took 300 years to see things change. So the prophecies remained dormant, and then the Holy Spirit's presence increased significantly with the coming of Jesus. Something dramatic happened. And the Holy Spirit came and he touched many individuals. John the Baptist says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from before his birth. Luke 1:15. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Lord of the Holy Spirit came upon her and overshadowed her. Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Spirit, as was Zechariah in Luke 1 and verse 67. So the prophecy in the Old Testament that something new, something more was coming. And then we read in the early chapters of Luke, so particularly Luke chapter 3, that John linked the Holy Spirit with Jesus. So we're seeing this evolution from the Holy Spirit there at the beginning of creation, throughout the Old Testament, a promise of more. And then John the Baptist spoke these words. People asked him, was he the Christ? And he said, no, I'm not. But someone is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the word baptize, baptizo in Greek, means to overwhelm, to immerse, to plunge, to drench. And the word was used to describe a sinking ship after it was finally completely submerged. And isn't that a wonderful picture? A sinking, you see these old shipwrecks on the floor of the sea. Well, the wonderful picture is it's completely and totally drenched in water because there's no part that can escape. So the Holy Spirit was promised that he would be poured out on all flesh. And John foretold that Jesus was coming and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus received power through the Holy Spirit's anointing. He received it at his baptism. And Jesus was completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And the verse in Luke 4:14 says, Jesus armed with the Holy Spirit's power. So there's something about the Holy Spirit that brings power. It brings life. It brings anointing. And there's a place of strength. There's a place of protection when we're under the Holy Spirit's anointing. There's lots of places in the Bible where it talks about Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit was so important for Jesus, and he promised the Holy Spirit to us, then guess what? How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit? And he said, look, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. There's more. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm sending you the one who's going to be alongside you. Fifth and finally, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit's presence to his disciples and to each one of us. And this is around John 7 and verses 37 to 39. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and he proclaimed the following. He said, all you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing into your innermost being. And Jesus was speaking here of the Holy Spirit. And the promise was to fulfill a prophecy in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 47 that life, fruitfulness, and healing would flow. And Jesus is saying, look, life, fruitfulness, and healing will come through my Spirit's anointing. And Jesus went on to tell his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. To wait in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. Listen to what Luke says in chapter 24, verse 49. And I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit, until his mighty power falls upon you and wraps around you. Isn't that a lovely picture? The Holy Spirit coming and wrapping around us. And at Pentecost, that's just what happened. The disciples were filled with the Spirit and received new languages in Acts 2 and verses 4 to 12. They received new boldness in Acts 2 and verse 14. And they received new power in Acts 2 and verses 37 to 41. So the book of Acts records that the crowds were amazed and mystified. The people at Pentecost asked what they needed to do. And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for forgiveness, and then they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit." For God's promise, it says in Acts 2 and 39, of the Holy Spirit is for you and your families and those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. It's for you, your families, and those yet to be born, for everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. So that's a little introduction to who the Holy Spirit is. And Terry's going to come now and talk about what the Holy Spirit does. Thank you.
Gosh, I think you talked quite fast. I don't know if I'll talk quite so fast. Right, so what does the Holy Spirit... Are we all here on the sheet? Yeah. What does the Holy Spirit do? So on the sheet we have, they are born again as sons and daughters of God by the Spirit. And John 3, this is where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't know what you're talking about." But Jesus says, "We need to be born of the Spirit and of water," he actually says. "And we have to have our lives renewed by the Spirit." And then in Romans, it tells us we're set free by the Spirit and set free from condemnation. That is there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're set free from condemnation and set free from the law of sin and death. And it's a wonderful truth that we're no longer bound up and we don't have to live our lives constantly dealing with things from the past and answering accusations, but actually we can declare, by the power of the Spirit, we can declare that we are free. And then it goes on in Romans 8 to tell us that we're adopted into God's family. And we thought about that a bit last week when we were talking about the relationship of the Father and the Son and how we come into that adoption. We come into new authority and a new understanding of who we are in Christ. But the wonderful thing is that we have this privilege of calling God Dad or Abba, Father. And it's a very intimate relationship that the Holy Spirit draws us into and that Jesus has already shown us, because he showed us what the Father was like and what that relationship was like. So then the Holy Spirit helps us to develop our relationship with God. I was thinking, David spoke about his experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I thought I'd say mine, not to be left out there. I was a Christian from a very young age, and then I don't know how many of you were involved or went along to Come Together. Did anybody? Okay, so I went to Come Together in Crystal Palace Park. Were you in Crystal Palace Park, Judy? No. Oh, really? Oh, right, okay. They travelled the whole nation. Actually, they probably did, didn't they? Because it was a prophecy. Right, okay, yeah. I mean, it was an amazing thing, actually. Come Together came about from a vision that Jean Darnell had of lights shining all the way through the nation and fire really being released. But anyway, so I went with a friend to Come Together, and it was like a musical presentation really, wasn't it? But it was worship as well, and it was worship like I'd never experienced before. And I came alive at that moment. I know I did, and I just sort of fell in love with Jesus, really, and grew in my relationship with the Lord from there. So, and a bit later on, people prayed with me and I spoke in tongues. And I just know that my relationship with the Lord has developed. And that's what I see is the relationship with the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. He helps us to go deeper and have a deeper understanding and a greater love, I think, for Jesus as well. So that was my experience. And after that, I ended up going along to ICFAS and leaving our not quite so lively church because we got told off for raising our hands in the air. The vicar's daughter and I, we were so blessed. And the next Sunday, we were lifting our hands in the air we were in the choir stall, so we got into trouble for it. And anyway, so that was my experience. So Romans 8:20, sorry, slight digression here, tells us that the Spirit helps us to pray. So I just spoke about speaking in tongues. I mean, the thing at Pentecost was languages. Obviously, they spoke in other languages and they were understood by everybody around. And everyone was there because they were there for the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the nations from all around had all gathered in Jerusalem and they heard the gospel preached in their own language. But then Paul goes on to talk about tongues in a different way, and he talks about it as a prayer language. And for me, that is the clearest thing for me. It is a prayer language. And in Romans 8, it's where the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We don't know how to pray, but he intercedes within us with groans too deep for words. And so that's not just speaking in tongues. I don't know if anyone has ever, you know, when you just don't know how to pray and you cry out in some way. And Martine was talking about it this morning, that she was desperate about a situation and just cried. And actually, that's the Holy Spirit moving through us. And those times are, I think, they're very, very powerful times of prayer. And then in Ephesians 1, it says, he helps us to understand more about what God has called us to, who he is, and illuminates the word. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know if other people have this experience, but you read something in the Bible or somebody says something that you know is true, but you can't quite grasp it. And you can't quite understand what's going on. And sometimes, well, this is the way I do it. Sometimes I keep going over and over and thinking, what on earth does this mean? Or I listen to or read other things to see what other people are thinking or what's happening. And then sometimes if I just leave it a bit later on, could be a year later, suddenly you have a revelation and it all falls into place. And that's what I think is part of this, that there's an illumination from the Holy Spirit and a revelation of what things mean. And I think that's the work of the Spirit in our hearts. So we have here that the Holy Spirit helps us to take on the family likeness. Last week we talked about a lot about the Father, and we talked about also praying in Jesus' name. And one of the things I was challenged about, if we're praying in Jesus' name, we need to be having our lives transformed. We need to actually represent who Jesus is as well. We can't pray in Jesus' name and be a really angry, horrible person. I think we need our lives to match up to that. So, and it's the Holy Spirit who brings about the transformation. And then we have the passage that everybody knows of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The more of the Spirit we allow to fill our lives and mould us and shape us, the more of this fruit is made evident. If we're truly looking to see the evidence of the Spirit in somebody's life, we need to see the fruit. And I was just thinking, you know, sometimes when you spend time around somebody, you really start to feel like, wow, I feel really good just being with this person. And it's because they're so full of the Holy Spirit and their lives are so like Jesus, really. And it's a really lovely thing to happen, isn't it? To be around someone. I don't know if you've had that experience. You're around someone and you just feel clean, actually. And sometimes you feel challenged, but... And that's what we want, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit enables us to live in unity within God's family. I think we can try really hard to live in unity, but without the Holy Spirit, I don't think we're going to manage it. I think we'll try hard, but we won't actually get there. And I think that's the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can help us to live in unity. And then I changed the thing. I don't know what you've got. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit himself is given to us, and he gives us gifts. Romans 5 says, "Hope does not disappoint," which is not on your sheets, "because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." So not only does he give gifts, but he is the one that the Father gave. And Jesus prayed, and he told the disciples that he was praying that the Father would send the Holy Spirit, and he would send him as a helper. And he is a gift. And in Luke 11, we see Jesus says, if you're being evil, ask for something from your Father, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So he is the one who is given from the Father to us. And then 1 Corinthians, Paul outlines some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 12, there are also gifts of the Holy Spirit. I just think that there's an incredible list, really, of gifts in it, and none of it is exhaustive. And I actually think if you look at Jesus' life and all that he did and all the power that he moved in, you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He had words of knowledge. He had discernment. He had wisdom. He spoke in authority, he had power, he had gifts of healing, of miracles, and those are all the things that are brought out, and even more. So, but what he had more than anything, or in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, at the end of them, what you get is love. So, unless we are moving in love, and love is our motivation, actually, we're not really moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's actually something that we need to really challenge our hearts about, because in the end, the Spirit is love. That's what I read there, that the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we need to have love as our motivation. When we're praying for somebody to be healed, we need the love of God, don't we? And that's our motivation, that we want to see God's love move. So I think next time we'll go into more details about being filled with the Spirit and what that means. The Holy Spirit empowers us and enables us to be his witnesses. And that in Acts it says, and David said it, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power, and you will be my witnesses. So we should be expecting to see power. And I mean, the Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing to see the incredible things that happened once Pentecost had happened. And I think we should be expectant. I think we should be expectant that things will happen. Things will happen as we look to the Lord and ask him to fill us and empower us. And I was listening to this chap who used to be at ICTHOS. He's now in the States. But he was talking about, this is a slight digression, but I actually feel it's quite important. He was talking about the fact that Jesus came to show the face of the Father, and the Holy Spirit shows the face of Jesus, because it says that he will give witness to Jesus, and he'll show us, he exalts Jesus. And so this chap was saying, so how do we see the face of the Holy Spirit? And he said, we see the face of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I thought, actually, that's really challenging, isn't it? That actually, if we're going to see the face of the Holy Spirit, we need to see it in one another. And that's who we're showing to the world outside as well, that we corporately are showing the face of the Holy Spirit, and obviously the love of Jesus and that. But I thought that was quite an interesting thing to think about. And he said it had challenged him to think, actually, are we seeing that? Are we seeing it in one another? And then what he said was, so if you look at the little boy who's come into church, do you see the face of the Holy Spirit in them? Or the elderly lady? He went through everybody that you might find in church, but he said, we need to be looking into one another's faces and seeing the face of the Holy Spirit, which I thought was lovely. And then John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and in fire, which David mentioned. Now, Roger Forster says, I'm going to finish on this, Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit so that God, by his Spirit, might dwell in us and we might abide in him. He saturates, fills, immerses, and drenches us in his presence. How amazing is that?